Good morning. Welcome as we come to worship today. You're very welcome here, joining us either in person or indeed online. If it's your first time with us, we bid you a really warm welcome. We start with the first scripture, which is found in Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6. It says, "Train a child in the way that they should go, and when they're old, they will not depart from it." We pray that that's a big part of what it is we do in this place, through all generations. But indeed today as we welcome these lovely little boys for dedication. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for who you are and for all that you have done for us. We thank you in this space and at this time, your presence is here. So as we lift our hearts, as we lift our eyes in worship and in praise to you, as we hear your word read and proclaimed, and as we offer before you the things that burden our hearts the deepest in prayer, and intercession. We pray that your presence with us meets the needs that we find ourselves with and for today. That in all that we do and say, it'll be for your glory and for your honor, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you are called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. And as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.
We're looking through this theme, looking unto Jesus. We're in the middle of the book of Colossians. We're more than halfway through the book of Colossians, actually, and we heard that read this morning to us. And we've looked at these mega themes of the fact that God is sufficient and he is supreme, that God supplies everything that we need. He is all sufficient, and he is everything that we need, and he is the ultimate authority. He is fully supreme in all things. We looked at a really weird little phrase that said we were to have endurance, patience, and joy all in the same sentence. And as we said week after week, we kind of can understand that we need patience whenever we're enduring something. But what's the joy thing about in the middle of that? And the joy really is about knowing that God is sufficient and supreme, and that in the midst of whatever it is that we're facing, with him by our side, then we can face what is yet to come. We were encouraged to pray for people very specifically and to tell people that we're praying for them, because that's a real encouragement for each other. We've seen that God is everything and that we travel in an adventure together. We're not in this alone. We've already expressed that today, that we are here as friends and family, as a community of faith, to journey with this family. They're not alone in this. We are here to support them and encourage them, and to see them throughout our Christian walk in every way. We were encouraged to marvel at Jesus, just to sit and take some time and marvel at who he is and what he has done for us. And whenever we do that, we can have a different perspective. We see life through a different lens and a different way. And we begin to understand and know that we can't outgrow Jesus. There's always more of him. And because of that, we can then overflow in him. Just like we were singing with that Shine song, or indeed with the last one, God Knows Me, as well. And last week we saw that we can hide ourselves in Jesus. And if we do that, It's because he protects us. He protects us, and it allows other people to see him through us. And that's really important in our faith and in our witness. This week, our theme is and has been Christ is our life. That he is everything, that we are renewed in his image. That's what that passage was all about that was read to us earlier. And this is a very, very powerful moment for the Colossians, for this early church, as infants in their following of Jesus, in the infants and the establishment of what we now know, having had centuries of history of understanding church, of a gathering of God's people, this was a powerful moment for them. A powerful moment because sometimes they didn't always get it right. So Paul writes to this church and he says, here, hold on a minute. You haven't quite got those things right. So here's what you should be doing. But by the way, I'm really encouraged by X, Y, and Z of what you're doing right. And it's the same as us. As we encourage our children, we often encourage them in what we see as good in them, but we also take them aside and say, do you know, hold on a minute. Maybe if you did it this way, or maybe you shouldn't be doing that. And we do that out of love, don't we? We don't do it out of any sense of malice, because we want them to grow and become the best version of who they are. That's exactly what Paul was doing with these early Christians. So Paul really challenges the ones that have been hindering this church from showing Jesus. He tells them that they are to take off those old things of being jealous, of hatred, of greed, of pride, of lies, of dishonesty, of stealing, and to take on the new way of doing things, the image of Christ, the sense of contentment, the sense of knowing that this isn't all about me. This is about Jesus. It's not in my strength that I can do these things, because he is all sufficient and all supreme. To take on love, to show love to each other in our community of faith, but also to the community around us. We love because he first loved us. By this you will know them, because they love one another. So how we love each other will shine brightly to the world around us. Put on generosity. We're not to be tight or stingy. I think you hear the Balmain man saying that. We're not to be tight or stingy, but it's not with just with our finances. It's with our love, with our grace, with our time, with our talents, with our skills, with all of those things. We're to be generous in our lifestyle. We're to take on grace, to give the benefit of the doubt, to walk graciously with other people, to speak truthfully, not just with an element of truth, but with the whole truth, so that our lives might reflect the image of who Christ is and what he has done for us. We're to clothe ourselves with those things. But that's really easy to say, isn't it? We leave down all those old ways of doing stuff, and we pick up these new ways, and everything should be rosy and perfect, because habits die hard, don't they? We know that. Those things that kind of mold us and shape us die really hard, don't they? I mean, the psychologists would tell us that it takes at least 40 days consistently, day after day, to establish a habit, but it only takes 7 days of not doing it to lose the habit. So in other words, if you're doing something for 40 days, then you go on holidays for a week and you decide, I'm on holidays, I'm not going to do that. The habit has taken a really hard dent that could be broken. But it's also more than just habits, isn't it? Because actually, who we are is often formed by the things that we grew up with. That's why we want to encourage an atmosphere of faith here. But sometimes it's the simple things. So hands up if you like an Ulster fry. Okay, most people have their hands up, not everybody. This is going to fight opinion. Hands up if you put beans on your fry. Okay, so the door's there and you can all just leave. hands up if you like a fry without beans. The proper way and the only way, correctly, thank you. But one of the habits in our house growing up as children, whenever I was a young boy, not much taller than I am now, but whenever I was younger, one of the habits was, whenever we had a fry at home, nothing after the fry. No buns, no chocolate, no sweet stuff. You just had a cup of tea with your fry and that was it, because it ruined the taste of the fry. Honestly, to this day, whenever we have a fry in our house, I can't eat anything after it. I just say, no, not having any of that. Everybody else is stuffing their faces with chocolate and buns and all kinds of stuff, and I'm going, no, you ruin the taste of the fry, you know. Because old habits die hard. And sometimes old habits are good things, and sometimes they're bad things. And so we need to work out and choose the things that we need to set off and the things that we need to pick up. Actually, verse 5 is really essential. Colossians chapter 3, verse 5 is really essential in this, because it says, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. In other words, let it die. Let it go. Let it go. Immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, the greed, which is idolatry, because those things are set up as gods in our lives. They're something that we put before the one true God, and therefore they become the things that rule us rather than looking unto Jesus. But we don't live in a vacuum. And if we put off something, then we need to take something up. Otherwise, there's a vacuum there, and it'll get filled with something. So if you don't intentionally fill the vacuum of setting something down before you take something up, it'll be filled by things that probably aren't so good. Verse 9 tells us this, because the scriptures never actually leave us hanging. Do not lie to each other, since you've taken off your old self and its practices, and you've put on a new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge of the image of its creator. There is no Greek, no Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Because he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. And so this new self means that Jesus is living in you, having come to a living faith in him, having received Jesus as the Savior and Lord of your life, the only one who can forgive sins. That's a decision, a conscious decision that we take as God calls us, chooses us, and draws us close to him. We choose to follow him, to step into that journey and that relationship with him. And because of that, Christ is in us. And that's an amazing truth. God provides the substitute in the vacuum. So if we're putting off these old ways of doing things that take us away from him, God provides the substitute in Jesus to fill that vacuum and that void. Verse 15 says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body you were called to peace, be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach, admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your heart. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God, the Father, through him. We've said it already today several times. We live and express ourselves in this community of faith in this place. And for others who've joined us as friends and family, maybe you express that in a different community of faith today. But we are in this journey together. We're here to support and encourage each other. We're here to gently admonish each other and call those who are drifting back so that we grow strong, so that Christ shines out of us, so we overflow, and so that the world around us can see that Jesus is Lord, and in him, all thanks dwells. So the question for each of us, the preacher included today, is this. What things do you need to put off? What things can you replace them with? Because that will determine how you will shine for Jesus. May the Lord give us strength and grace to do just that this week. As we conclude, let's hear some words from Colossians chapter 3. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body we're called to peace. Be thankful. letting the word of Christ dwell richly within us, so that whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to him. May the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest upon each one of us this day and forevermore. Amen. Amen.